We're assessing the performance of Leslie Frazier, Matthew Smiley, and in a way, Sean McDermott today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Monday to you, and thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. And as a reminder to you, we are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Well, folks, on today's podcast, we are going to focus on assessing the performance of Buffalo Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier, special teams coordinator Matthew Smiley, and in a way, head coach Sean McDermott. This will be a lot like the conversation we had last week on Wednesday, where I put Ken Dorsey, the Bills offensive coordinator, through the microscope, and today we extend that conversation to Frazier and Smiley. Now, my original intent was on that Wednesday episode to have three segments, one on each coordinator, and then I did all of my prep for the Ken Dorsey segment, and that wound up being like way more than enough for an entire podcast. And so we've now parsed this out and we're talking Frazier and Smiley today. Real quick, speaking of last week, was really happy with the entire week on the podcast, where on Monday we talked about how the Bills can improve from within. Tuesday was Herd Mentality with some great questions submitted about Tremaine Edmonds, and if the Bills aren't able to bring him back, what that looks like. We did the Ken Dorsey episode on Wednesday, and then two great guests to close out the week. John Fina, former Bills left tackle, on Thursday. He gave some really unique player's perspective into the 2022 season and, you know, the whole adversity, running out of gas, all of those dynamics. I really appreciated John's insight on that. And then, of course, Greg Thompson of Cover One on Friday coming in and doing the salary cap deep dive, which was a really important conversation to us for us to have, as free agency is only a few weeks away. All right, let's get into today's subject, which is, first of all, Leslie Frazier. And I want to consider this defense, and I want to measure it the same way that we did the offense, by using DVOA. I think DVOA is just a really good way to holistically assess a unit, right? We could sit here and talk about yards per game and yards per carry and passer rating against and scoring and all that type of stuff, but DVOA really contextualizes it and considers a lot of very important variables. So real quick, let me read the definition of DVOA, which is a metric formed by Football Outsiders, and then we'll kind of get into the Bills DVOA, and then, of course, Leslie Frazier. So again, DVOA is a method of evaluating teams, units, or players. It takes every single play during the NFL season and compares each one to a league average baseline based on situation. DVOA measures not just yardage, but yardage towards a first down. 5 yards on third and four are worth more than 5 yards on first and 10, and much more than 5 yards on third and 12. Red zone plays are worth more than other plays. Performance is also adjusted for quality of opponent. DVOA is a percentage, so a team with a DVOA of 10% is 10% better than the average team. I really like how it measures these things. So let's look at the Bills' defense in 2022, and we'll specifically compare it to 2021. Now, what's different about this conversation is we're comparing Leslie Frazier to Leslie Frazier, right? Where we got a chance last time to compare Ken Dorsey to Brian Daboll. So in 2022, the Bills were number 4 in total DVOA on defense, 11% better than an average NFL defense. Number 4 in the league. Last year, they were number 1 in the league, 18% better than the league average defense. In terms of pass defense DVOA, the Bills in 2022 were 9th, 4.9% better than an average NFL pass defense. And then in 2021, the Bills were actually number 1, 23% better in terms of pass defense than an average NFL defense. Excuse me. Rushing defense DVOA, Bills were 3rd, 19.7% better than the average In 2021, they were 11th, which was 11.9% better. So while the pass defense was a tick worse, the rush defense was a tick better. And then I also like to throw in scoring defense. In 2021, the Bills allowed 17 points per game, and in 2022, they allowed 17.9 points per game. So now that we have the statistics out of the way, we can laser in a little bit more on Leslie Frazier and his impact on all these numbers. And we'll talk about some of the good here, and then we'll kind of get into what I like to call the difficult. So it's the good and the difficult as it relates to Leslie Frazier. The good is that the Buffalo Bills, under Leslie Frazier, once again produced a statistically excellent defense while winning a lot of football games. Take a moment amid all your frustrations right now and acknowledge what I just said. Leslie Frazier once again produced a statistically excellent defense while the Bills won a lot of football games. The Bills have been a top two scoring defense in three of the last 4 years. The only year that they weren't was 2020, which was the year the Bills went to the AFC Championship game. The Bills have been top six in total defense in four of the past 5 years. And again, the only season that they weren't in the top six was 2020, the year the Bills went to the AFC Championship game. We've seen some excellent regular season defenses under Leslie Frazier. We've seen some really good player development under Leslie Frazier. How about these names? Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, Taron Johnson, Levi Wallace, Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano. Those guys have all developed wonderfully under Leslie Frazier since he's been the team's defensive coordinator starting in 2017. Now, you'll notice that every single player that I just mentioned was a back seven player. Poyer, Hyde, Trey White, Taron Johnson, Levi Wallace, Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano. Now, I'll acknowledge that I really like the path that Gregory Rousseau is on. But for the most part, under Leslie Frazier / Sean McDermott, defensive line development has been an issue. And they've both had great defensive linemen. Defensive line development in Carolina under Sean McDermott was not an issue at all. But it has been for the Bills. Now, we've seen veterans come in and perform well, right? Or continue performing well, whether that's Jerry Hughes, Mario Addison, I thought had a reasonable run. Von Miller came in and looked like Von Miller. But I think overall, the defensive line impact continues to underwhelm. And what's interesting is that the imbalance between back seven development versus defensive line development, it bothers me, especially when you consider the resources that have been committed to the defensive line. Now, we talked about, when I mentioned those players that have developed in the back seven, there's first-round picks in there. Trey White, Tremaine Edmonds, there's guys that came in and were given contracts in Poyer and Hyde that wind up turning into good players. There's been some, you know, fourth-round pick in Taron Johnson has turned into a really good slot corner. Levi Wallace is a UDFA, turned into a really good or a reasonably sound starter as a UDFA for a number of years, right? There's been some good performances there. And so you've seen a good mix of veterans, mid-round picks, UDFAs, top picks come in, develop under Leslie Frazier. With the defensive line, you can't really say the same thing. And so as we've acknowledged that the Bills once again had a statistically excellent defense under Leslie Frazier, and the Bills won a lot of football games, and we start to inch closer to the difficult part of the conversation as it relates to Leslie Frazier, I wanted to establish the imbalance of player development in the back seven versus the D-line as we, in just a moment, further this conversation about the challenging and difficult components of Leslie Frazier. I thought this was an important baseline to establish. Real quick, need to tell you guys about FanDuel. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. And you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. So let's get into the difficult part of the Leslie Frazier evaluation. We've acknowledged some great regular season efforts. And look, we'll even extend it. He's had some good postseason efforts. Hasn't all been bad. The Bills have won playoff games under Sean McDermott, Leslie Frazier. That's happened each of the last three seasons. But for the last 4 years, the elimination game defenses have been bad. They've been awful. They've been not good enough. So let's look really quickly at those four elimination game defensive efforts. And we'll start with the best defensive effort, which came against the worst offense that the Bills played in an elimination game. And that's the 2019 Houston Texans. The Bills squandered a 16-point halftime lead. The defense gave up 22 second-half points, 360 yards, 19 first downs, and 43% conversion rate on third and fourth downs. So offense was far more the reason the Bills didn't beat the Texans, but when you pitch a shutout only to allow 22 points in the second half, that's disappointing, especially against the Houston Texans that year, which were probably the second worst offense in the playoffs after the Bills. But where things get really disappointing is the last 3 years. 2020 AFC Championship game loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Bills gave up 38 points, 439 yards, 29 first downs, and a conversion rate of 64% on third and fourth downs. 2021 divisional round loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Bills defense allowed 42 points, 552 yards, 30 first downs, and 64% conversion rate on third and fourth downs. And then, of course, this past year against the Bengals, 27 points, 412 yards, 30 first downs, and 60% conversion rate on third and fourth downs. The defense just continues to be a massive letdown when the team needs it most. Now, I find myself having some level of grace this year, and that comes with the same reaction that I had coming out of the loss to the Bengals and all the things that I said about Leslie Frazier and how I've believed that he's run his course in Buffalo and that the Bills should consider making a change at defensive coordinator. I still stand by that, but I do have some level of grace for this year because, I mean, the injuries were just crazy on defense. Crazy. Cornerstone, pillars of your defense, Micah Hyde gone after week two. Von Miller goes down on the Thanksgiving game against Detroit, gone for the rest of the season. You didn't have Daquan Jones in the playoff game. I mean, it's probably better for me to ask you to ask yourself, who wasn't injured on defense this year? I mean, go through the personnel. Everyone was hurt at some point. And it was anyone's guess week to week who was going to play and what they were going to try to play through if they did play. Guys were banged up over and over and over again. It's hard to be the best defense that you can be when any given week you're missing multiple guys, multiple starters all over the place. I have some grace for that. But you lose that grace when you're reminded of some of those other playoff letdowns. I didn't really appreciate his game plans, to be honest with you. In the elimination games, specifically the Bengals game. You know, it feels like the Bills in these types of games defensively want to embrace this style of play that says, you know what, we think you're a really good offense, and what we're going to do defensively is test you to be willing to execute and stack positive plays on top of each other and get you in third downs and get you in the red zone. And we think that at some point you're going to make a mistake, or at some point you're going to be behind the sticks and we'll be able to rally and get a stop. And that just isn't working. Quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow are happy to say, oh, wow, you're giving us that. We'll just keep taking it and taking it and taking it. And eventually it may be the 10th play of the drive, but we'll score a touchdown. They're happy to do that. Defensively, schematically, the Bills have needed to do something to make it harder on the opposition and not just see if they're willing to be patient. They needed to have tighter coverage alignments. They had to do more to dictate the terms of the football game. Live with giving up a big play down the field because you did something aggressive, or you tried to fool them, or you tried to play tight press coverage and your guy was unable to get the jam and the receiver got behind him and the throw was made and the catch was made. Be willing to live with that as opposed to living with death by a million paper cuts. Give your guys a chance to make a game-changing play. Listen to this. All of those elimination games that I just mentioned, the four games I just mentioned, the turnovers have been lacking. In the last three, the Bengals game and the last two against the Chiefs, the Bills have forced zero defensive turnovers in the last three playoff losses. Two against the Chiefs, one against the Bengals. None on defense. Now, in the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs, Mecole Hardman muffed a punt, but that's not a turnover forced by Leslie Frazier's defense. That's a guy dropped a punt on special teams and the Bills recovered. Remember, the Bills were up like 9-0 in that game. Wound up being the worst thing that could have happened to them. The Bills actually, I wonder if there's something you could track here. The Bills had the first two and the last two scores in the AFC Championship game and still lost. I wonder how many times that's happened. Probably not many. But back to the point that there's no turnovers in these games when you need them the most. None against the Chiefs or Bengals in the last 3 years. Defensive turnovers forced. Now, they got one against Houston in the playoff loss. DeAndre Hopkins fumbled, and Tremaine Edmonds recovered it, and that's it. You've got one defensive turnover in your last four elimination games. That speaks to what I'm talking about of being willing to dictate terms and play aggressive. Because what you're doing against these top quarterbacks in the playoffs is you're getting beat. And that's why there's enough of a sample size here for me to be concerned enough to say, you know what? I think Leslie Frazier may have run his course in Buffalo. It's disappointing to see that time and time again, right? And I know that, look, the offense scored 10 points against Cincinnati. I'm not absolving them of any blame. But, I mean, even after that game, I came away with that same type of thought where I came away much more disappointed with the defensive effort than the offensive effort. Now, you can kind of flip that on its head for the Houston loss back in 2019, but I think this is a different team now, right? I feel like the 2020 team was where this team really kind of took form. Now, 2019 was formative in getting to 2020 and 2021 and 2022. But I feel like this defense has just really let the Bills down in elimination games. So what do I want to be different about the defense in 2023? I did this for the offense, and so I want to do it here. I've got four things written down. Number one, I want it to be healthy. I want the players to be more healthy next year than they were last year. I don't want to wonder every single week which two, three, four guys on defense may or may not play. I want to have a lot shorter conversations with Dr. Kyle Trimble of Banged Up Bills on Fridays. That's what I want. Number two is I want to dictate terms more consistently. I don't want to just rely on coverage spacing and forcing teams into low percentage throws and seeing if they can stack plays. And look, there's times where that's going to be an effective idea. But dictate terms, man. There are times where I've watched Leslie Frazier. Think about some of those games against like Miami and Tua 2 years ago, where there was just no respect for who he was as a quarterback, and said, you know what? We know what you want to do. We're taking it away and we're getting your after your ass, right? Like, that's what I want to see more of. I want to see more of the kitchen sink. Dictate terms. You've got playmakers, man. Dictate terms. Play the game your way. Instead of just this, hey, can you execute enough times in a row to score points? I'm not saying blitz like crazy. That, like, don't listen to this conversation and feel like I'm saying blitz. I'm a big organic pressure, but you got to take the air out of the pass coverage a little bit more consistently than you have. Willing to play tighter. Number three is that I want the Bills to tackle with more consistency. Now, I thought their tackling got so much better down the stretch. Like, it did. And I'm not a huge sample size. It's probably like the last four or five games. I have a much greater sample size of bad tackling under Leslie Frazier / Sean McDermott. But I want more tackling consistency. It's a wonder the Bills have been able to have such statistically good defenses with how inconsistent they tackle. And I know that they want to be an up-the-field defense, and that lends itself to some harder, challenging tackles, but these missed tackle rates are just year-over-year bad. And then number four is I want better production from the defensive line. I want to watch these dudes up front force the action and make plays at a higher clip than I've seen. I had some games where I felt very satisfied with the defensive line, but in totality, I don't think I am. And I know that that's frustrating because of the investments that have been made there, but defensive line production is a big deal. Look at those teams that you just watched in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs and the Eagles. They got waves on waves of guys that can come in and produce, and they do. Got some guys that could really make a difference and dictate the action. I want better production from this defensive line. So those four things, I want it to be healthy. I want it to dictate terms more consistently. I want it to tackle with more consistency. And I want better production from the defensive line. We're going to take a quick break, but we're going to extend this conversation to Matthew Smiley and the special teams right after this. All right, let's talk a little special teams. Matthew Smiley, his first season as the Bills special teams coordinator, replacing Heath Farwell in a move that surprised some folks. The Bills let Heath Farwell's contract expire and sign with another team. Turned out to be a great choice by letting Farwell sign elsewhere and allow Coach Smiley to take over this unit. Statistically, they were phenomenal. We'll do the same thing with DVOA and special teams. This past year, 2022, the Bills had the number one team in the NFL in terms of special teams DVOA, 5% better than league average. Number one. Last year, they were 19th and were actually minus 0.1%, so they were below average in special teams in totality. Now we'll parse it out by all the different functions of special teams. Now in field goal, the Bills were 11th, 3.3% better. 2021, they were 12th, 2.4% better. Kickoff team, they were 6th this past year, 3.1%. Last year, they were 4th at 6.4% better than the average. Kick return, the Bills were number 1 this past year, 11.8% better than the average team in kick return. 2021, they were 13th, 0.6% better. The punt team was significantly better this year, number 6 in the NFL. In punt team, 6.8% better than league average. Last year, they were 30th, 9% worse than league average. So just a massive swing there. And then punt return, the Bills were a tick better this year, number 15 in the league, 0.2% better than league average. In 2021, they were 21st at minus 1%. So they 1% worse than league average. So the Bills, I mean, number one special teams DVOA in the NFL, phenomenal at kick return, phenomenal at punt coverage, and, you know, solid at kickoff and solid at punt return. I thought it was a great season for the Bills special teams. I've said this multiple times, but I thought this was the best punting season the Bills have had in at least 10 years since Brian Moorman's second to last season with the Bills. I haven't seen better punting and punt coverage in a long time. Tyler Bass, the Bills' field goal kicker, continues his ascension as a top-tier NFL kicker. Reed Ferguson continues to be excellent as the long snapper. But I think where we really need to give Matthew Smiley some flowers is with the kick coverage, right? Just outstanding at covering kicks, and it was a big weapon for this team this year to be able to not rely on touchbacks and just giving the other team the 25-yard line. The Bills would force returns and very frequently tackle them inside the 25-yard line, thus making them go further to score. They did a great job of that this year, a big weapon that is not talked enough about. So they're outstanding at covering kicks. I think they did a good job in the return game, all things considered. They went through three guys. Right early on, it was Jamison Crowder. He breaks his ankle. They turn to the rookie, Khalil Shakir, and then, of course, they trade for Nyheim Hines and got consistent production across the board there. Now, what's interesting is going to be next year, and we've talked about this so far on this podcast this offseason, is that you're going to have some new faces here on who's kicking and covering punts and who's blocking for kicks and punts on the return units. Your most experienced guys that the Bills have been relying on for a number of years with special teams and being core four special teams players, guys like Tywan Jones, Tyler Medicavich, Jaquan Johnson, Cam Lewis, Jake Kumerow, AJ Klein, Tyrell Dotson, all of those players have expiring contracts. How many are going to be back? I don't know. But the Bills are going to have to lean on some different players here to cover kicks and punts and to block for kicks and punts. Some new names here. So we'll see how that all comes together, because I would guess some of those guys are back, but not all of them. But all of those guys are core four special teamers and have been for a number of seasons for the Bills. So I really like the direction of the Bills' special teams. They got some tough decisions to make. We talked about this year with those core four guys, but you know, Tyler Bass, this is a contract year for him. And do you want to pay $5 million a year for a kicker? I'd love to know. If you're on YouTube, leave a comment and let me know your appetite for paying a kicker $5 million a season, because I think that's what it's going to take to keep Tyler Bass long-term. You know, Sam Martin's an expired contract, so they'll either have to bring him back or find another new punter. Nyheim Hines, there's some contract dynamics here that they'll have to sort through and agree upon for him to come back in the return role. So good season, but a lot of dangling items here as we consider the Bills special teams beyond 2022. Now, I mentioned that we were going to kind of get to Sean McDermott. And while he's massively important, he's the head coach of the football team, right? I feel like I have the least to say about him because we've went through this conversation as it relates to offense and Ken Dorsey. We've done Leslie Frazier and the defense. We've done Matthew Smiley and the special teams. But in reality, Sean McDermott's responsible for all of this, right? Everything good I've said about Dorsey, Frazier, and Smiley, McDermott gets credit. Everything negatives I've said about Dorsey, Frazier, and Smiley, McDermott gets criticism too. Obviously, Sean McDermott has to prove that he can lead the team further than he has, right? We want a Super Bowl. That's what we want. That's the goal. That's the stated goal. Everybody knows that. And McDermott has proven so far that he can take a team to the AFC Championship game. That's the reality of it. Now, has there been some unfortunate moments along the way? Yes. Part of that's his fault. 13 seconds, go back and listen to the podcast. I sat there and I said, Sean McDermott failed the football team, right? He is massively responsible for that. And look, we can all sit here and speculate, but I have a good feeling that if the Bills win that game, they host Cincy in the AFC Championship game, win that, and I'm pretty sure they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl. We don't know, but it certainly feels like Sean McDermott cost this team its best opportunity to win a Super Bowl in my lifetime, at least. And I know I was born in 1986, so I lived through those like early 90s runs, but like, I mean, I was just a kid. In my, you know, football loving years of my life, certainly the best chance they've ever had. He's got a lot to prove, right? And I don't think that because he hasn't taken the team to the Super Bowl that he can't, I think Sean McDermott can do this. Six seasons in, and it hasn't happened yet. I randomly decided to look up some coaches, revered coaches, right? Some of these are Hall of Famers. Some of them are going to be Hall of Famers. I can say confidently that every single coach I'm about to mention will be a Hall of Famer. And not all of them got to the Super Bowl quickly, right? Andy Reid, it took him 6 seasons to get to the Super Bowl. Bill Belichick, 7 seasons. Dick Vermeil, 10 seasons. John Madden, 8 seasons. Dan Reeves, 6 seasons. Marv Levy, 9 seasons to get to the Super Bowl. Now, lots of other really good coaches got to Super Bowls and won Super Bowls quicker than Sean McDermott. But the point I'm making is, like, just because he hasn't doesn't mean that he won't, and it doesn't mean that he can't. Sean McDermott's proven to be a really outstanding leader, won a lot of football games. In the landscape of Buffalo Bills football over the last 30 years, I mean, the success has been unprecedented. I want the Super Bowl bad too, guys. I really do. I want it bad. But I don't know that I find myself in the same position that I at least feel like a lot of people are, and that Sean McDermott can't do this. They need a new head coach. I can't get myself to think like that. I can't. And maybe I'm wrong about that. But I know that a lot of you guys share into that thought that Sean McDermott can't lead, that he can't do it. He has to prove that he can. I like the sustained success that's happened. I like so much, but obviously I want him to take this team further than he has. And he has to prove it. He has to prove it. But I don't think because he hasn't, it doesn't mean that he won't, and it doesn't mean that he can't. So we'll see. Another big year for the Buffalo Bills and Sean McDermott coming up, which obviously means a big offseason coming up very quickly here to retool, reload, and go see what you can do in 2023. And we'll be here every step of the way for a daily podcast all year long. So don't miss anything. Like I said, we had an amazing week last week. We got some really good stuff lined up this week. Herd Mentality tomorrow. We're going to hear from Brandon Bean at the NFL Scouting Combine this week. We'll talk a little bit of draft stuff. It's going to be fun. So don't miss anything. Make sure that you're subscribed. We'd love it if you took a second to rate, review, and share the podcast. Have a great rest of your day, and I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.